great, great new sounding music. So definitely stay tuned.
This is your place to be.
107.3
2SER.
Dougal of Dr. Shaw's Unusual Practice, thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday afternoon to have a chat here on the Bandit Show. It's a pleasure to hear your voice down all the way south in old Melbourne town. And let's kind of hark back to your earlier days in a way. You were playing many, many years ago now, back in, say, 2014 through to 2016. You were playing in a very different band at the time called Breathe. Now, this outfit was much more of a subtle atmospheric group, and I guess it was more of an escape from reality than kind of dealing with the problems of today. So what changed for you and pushed you into much more of a kind of reactive style of music?
That's a really good question. I guess I've always had really broad musical tastes, you know, and like in the past I've always played in quite collaborative bands, whereas, you know, Dr. Shaw's started as a solo project for me. For me, it feels like the most authentic project I've done, okay, just in terms of being able to be totally following whatever trail that I'm on at the time and being pretty open when it comes to genre and just putting out whatever I'm making and feeling comfortable for it to be under the same banner. But I guess, you know, in line with your question, like back in the Breathe days and stuff, and I was kind of maybe, I guess you could say, like it was more introspective in the way that I was writing. You know, a lot of the time I would write when I was down or when I was kind of sitting alone by myself and just writing about my own inner demons and stuff like that, you know, and my feelings, more stuff that was internal, you know. And whereas in reality, I was having a lot of these same conversations and stuff that I'm writing about now, you know, and I've always been politically engaged and questioning authority and grew up in the punk scene and listening to punk hardcore, stuff like that. So I guess where I'm at now is maybe just getting out of my own head, you know, and kind of engaging a bit more with what's going on around me. Yeah. You know, whether it's like ScoMo Goes to Hawaii EP, which is like more just like drum machines and synths and kind of reacting to what was happening at the time, and it was kind of recorded in 2 days and put out the next day, or like, you know, this recent album Remember the Future, which was like the first one that we decided pre-pandemic, you know, that we were going to go in and record as the band live in the studio. It feels a bit more fully formed. It's like songs that we'd played live a bit, and it was just a matter of just getting in and doing a day, and just all kind of what happened to be 2 days with 16 months and a pandemic in between, you know, different approaches. And it's nice to have a kind of banner where I can just feel pretty comfortable to just chuck out whatever I'm working on.
I do know that there was like a bit of a wall you ran into in regards to being productive and being able to write music. There was like a period of time where, you know, you wrote like tons and tons of songs, and then for a while last year it was kind of like not really much going on. How do you get over those kind of hurdles? Do you feel like now in the future, if that was to happen again, you would know exactly what to do? Or is it something that you have to go through and you have to just simply turn off for a while?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty unusual event, you know, that kind of led us to there. But I guess for me, what it made me realize was how much I really value community and how much I feed off community and feed off just being around other people making cool stuff, you know, and like going to shows and seeing your friends making stuff and, you know, living with other people playing in bands. And our house was just like the jam space, and there would be bands coming in and out, and every night of the week one of your friends has a gig on. So it was just like constantly being consumed by music and being a part of a really kind of vibrant community is like super inspiring, you know. And like that's what gets me fired up and kind of gets me motivated to keep pushing, you know. So yeah, it really made me realize, I guess, when that's taken away from you and you've got to try and find it within yourself, like this motivation and, you know, without having things on the horizon that you're kind of working towards, whether it's like tours or records or a gig or whatever, just something simple that's in the future that you've got this thing to go for, you know, whereas being at home and being stuck in your own head and not having those things, it's like makes it a little bit harder to engage with the outside world when you're not a part of it, you know. I definitely wrote a lot of stuff that probably just won't ever see the light of day, you know. The longer the pandemic went on, the worse my, you know, the song got, and I got to a point, and yeah, like you said, I just kind of stopped writing for like months. I think I realized the stuff that I was making in that headspace was crap, you know, so I just went, all right, tools down for a bit. And then yeah, since just being able to get back out in the community, and I'm just like, I'm all fired up again, you know, I'm like, and I'm having ideas, and I'm just like constantly writing down ideas. And it's like, oh, you know, you realize how integral it is to, you know, being an artist and being creative and stuff. Community is so important and so valuable. I hope you die.
The music of Dr. Shaw has always been somewhat of a socio-political commentary on the state of the modern world, but I feel like in the last couple of releases, especially since the Skirmo Goes to Hawaii EP, it's definitely turned a lot more personal for you, and it's become a lot more of a scathing approach to music. Rather than trying to dismantle the system with punk music, are you trying to reconstruct the way that people approach and the way that they look at the system is already built?
Yeah, I think so. Hey, it's a tough question. I guess like my natural kind of response, or like my way of processing my experience of the world, or and I guess like kind of the role I've kind of taken on through my art is kind of, you know, to question these things and, okay, you know, whether that's powers that be kind of destroying sacred indigenous sites, or like the capitalist system that kind of allows these things to occur, or like the fact that billionaires can even exist, you know, like not just morally but in a rational kind of practical sense, when the planet's being destroyed and that wealth could be distributed to the places that it's needed instead of like hoarded by sociopaths. And I digress. The simple answer, I guess, is you know, I don't have solutions, but I think it's a collective effort. I kind of have my little role to play, and I kind of choose to use my little platform to start these conversations, or at least kind of document these things. And, you know, there's other people out there kind of taking direct action and, you know, chaining themselves to the trees in Tassie, or the Wangan and Jagalingu people blockading the Adani mine site up in Central Queensland. And, you know, then you've got people who actually kind of write policy and are trying to, you know, do things that way. So I think collectively we're all working towards a common goal in our own ways. And, you know, music is kind of what I love to do, and I'm kind of passionate about putting my values and morals into my art. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Punk music's kind of inherently always being political, you know, and it's kind of subversive in its own way, even if it's not directly talking about politics and stuff, you know, and the community aspects of it and the DIY kind of mentality and all that stuff is like inherently political, whether or not you're actually kind of talking about ScoMo going to Hawaii while Australia's on fire, you know. Like,
all right, yeah. Well, let's get into the record. Remember the Future has been kind of released in two parts. There was the first volume of the record, which came out back in April of last year, and there's been a bit of time in between here and then to get the second LP together. I assume it was supposed to come out as one giant volume of work, but, you know, of course, COVID has thrown itself into the mix. So how do you see it now? Do you still see it as a collective record, or do you see it as snapshots in time of the last kind of 2 years or so?
It's definitely a weird one, hey? I guess the way a pandemic kind of forced our hand on the way it came together. But in my head, it was always a record, you know? It was always like we were working on our second record, you know? And then obviously last year, everything kind of started to fall apart, and we'd done a day and we got those first four songs down, and then we kind of just decided, as the future was looking pretty uncertain, so we were like, let's just get them out there. By calling it Volume One, we had preempted that we were going to complete it, you know, like eventually. Otherwise, you know, it might have just been the Remember the Future EP or something. But it was kind of like just wanting to keep moving, you know, and not let the situation at hand kind of stop. We were on a bit of a roll, you know. We just kind of kept releasing. We'd been touring a bunch, and it was really hard to just sit still. So I guess that's how that came together. And then, you know, we kept booking the second day, like, in between lockdowns and stuff, and then we'd go back into lockdown and reschedule it, cancel it, blah blah blah. And then earlier this year, this day came up with Now Anzai, who did the Volume 2 stuff, and he's kind of the live sound guy for Cash Savage, and we were on tour together, and he said, you know, he had this day that week. And then so yeah, we just went in and did a day and got those other six tracks down and just, you know, tracked it live, and, you know, it finally got the record together. So it's nice. It feels complete now that it's like it's an LP, you know, and it's kind of, it's out as it was intended.
So does that mean that you've already got some kind of conceptual idea ready to go for the next Dr. Shaw's Unusual Practice release?
Yeah, in a sense, it was, because I guess the thing was, we were like, all right, we'll go record these songs that we'd been playing live that were still songs that I'd written and taken to the band. And then the plan was then we were going to write a record together. So it took me a really long time and potentially added to, you know, why I had that big break in writing songs and stuff, because I was kind of holding on to this idea that we were going to make this record together and write this record as a band. Not this one, but the next one. And it's still kind of the plan, but, you know, there's all this stuff that I've been writing in the meantime. I guess it kind of dragged out, and you're like, all right, maybe I need to abandon that idea and just keep writing and get back on the program. So there's that, there's the band record, and then there's all these songs that I've been writing in between that I guess I'll do something with them. But there's also like another 30 odd songs that were written around the same time as these Remember the Future tracks that we'd eventually had planned to get in with the band. So other than that big break in the pandemic, like, I'm kind of just constantly writing, so there's just like so many songs that that, you know, hopefully we'll get to and kind of bring them to life with the band. Or maybe I'll just kind of get sick of them kind of gathering dust on hard drives and just put out some more kind of solo EPs or whatever. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff.